Today with Joseph Prince.
When everything in this world is changing, God never changes. And there's no unrighteousness in Him. And not only that, He is your personal rock. Don't just sit on the window listening to the sermon. Be planted. Be planted. Notice it says, if you are planted in the house of the Lord, what's going to happen to you outside in your workplace and all that? You will flourish out there. You will prosper out there. Amen. Things will happen for you for the glory of God out there.
The revelation that Joseph Prince preaches about communion has just completely revolutionized my life. And as I see Jesus on that cross, He doesn't have rheumatoid arthritis, neither do I. I feel so good to be pain-free. Every day was so painful until I got freedom.
If the gospel of grace has impacted your life, I would like to invite you to join us as a Grace Legacy Builder. Let's advance the gospel of grace together. Visit the link on your screen to be part of leaving a legacy of grace today.
Happy New Year of living in the upper room. Amen. You know, when we were believing God for this place, I actually heard the Lord tell me this. This is the very first time ever He said this to me, years ago. We moved in 2012, end of 2012. And those years before that, you know, there was a lot of, let me just tell you this, it's not easy. All right, if it could heal an average person just through stress alone at what we were supposed to even raise and all the different hiccups that happened along the way and how one thing led to another, unforeseen things and all that. But all the while, God gave me a word. Two words, actually. Number one, while we were going through the process, He says, sit still. Sit still until you know how the matter will recover. For the man, the Lord Jesus at the Father's right hand, will not be at rest until He has finished it. Amen. And that is a word from the book of Ruth. When Naomi, the mother-in-law, turned to the daughter-in-law, the Gentile girl from Moab, Jordan, who last night nearly beat Korea in the Asian Cup. Today is Jordan. Moab, she is actually a Moabitess. But because she believed in the God of Naomi, she says, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you die, I will die. Imagine a daughter-in-law saying that to the mother-in-law. And she became one of the ancestresses of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus came from her line, from her lineage. And that's what Naomi, her mother-in-law, advised her about the man who owned the field, a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, the wealthy man called Boaz. She says, sit still, my daughter. Don't run about, don't be stressed, don't worry. Don't worry about even competition with other ladies and all that. Sit still until you know how the matter will fall. Because the man will not be at rest until he has finished. So if you sit still, if you rest, He will not be at rest concerning your affairs. That means He'll be working. Amen? That's when God began to show me even clearer that when you rest, God works. Now, if you are working, no point, God says, no point both of us working, okay? Because even if I help you, you'll think it's you. You'll give part of the glory to me and part of the glory to you. No, God must have all the glory. Amen? So I always say, if God wants to have all the glory, let God do all the work. Amen. And that's our true posture. Our life is to bring glory to God. Amen. But we are so proud, aren't we? Huh? We creatures are so proud. We always want to have something. We always want to do something. So when we rest, it is not laziness. It's not passivity. It is actually acknowledging God is the only one who can bring an end to this affair. Who can finish this thing? Amen? Who can bring a successful outcome? So that was the word God gave me. That's one word. And it brought me through the whole thing. All the while when things were difficult, I said, until He has finished, He will finish it. He will finish it. And if you think that we have so many what we call fundraising in terms of love offering in the church, you are wrong. There's another testimony altogether. 1 year, we only have once. Another year, none. Yep. Yep. And the money came in. Because He finished it. Amen. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. And then the other word was this, and I want to share this with you. All right? The other word is this. He says to me, and I remember standing here when all the works were still being done and the people walking around with hard hats, you know, with their boots and all that, and I was wearing also, and with Wendy, and we were walking through this place and all that, and I said, wow, this floor here is very interesting. It's the uppermost floor, in a sense. All right? Upper room. And the Lord said to me, then He will show you a large upper room, furnished. And I never saw that upper room, the incident of Jesus, the upper room where He celebrated the Lord's Supper with His disciples. The upper room was first told me by the Lord while believing God for this place to be furnished. But He says to me, He will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. It's done deal. So before I saw the seats and all that, I really saw it furnished and prepared. So now He's telling us to live in the upper room. So I began to study, and a lot of things that I discovered, I'm sure that you have experienced this past week if you look in the upper room. There are so many things to talk about in the upper room. Amen. And there are things that I've just learned from the Lord. I know those passages, I know those stories, but never saw the nuggets, the truths in those stories. Amen. And what I saw is something that will steady you, establish you, strengthen you, prosper you in these days that we are going to walk in this year. Amen. The truths that we have. Again, the truths are eternal, but we must be established in these truths this year. That's the heart of God for us. Amen. So sit back, watch this. Living in the upper room. Amen. Praise the Lord. You already are, but you're going to be established in it. Amen. Amen. Every believer is. Amen. Once you put your trust in Christ, I'm just going to stop here for a while and just... All right, listen. Those of you, there are people concerned about their memories and they are finding themselves more and more forgetful. What was that? The Lord said to me just now. I'm just kidding. All right. They are getting more and more forgetful and they have been concerned. All right. So you don't have to worry about standing up alone. Okay. I believe that this one, quite a number of people will stand up. Even those in their 30s now. All right. So God has a word that if you do this, He told me, if you do this in the days to come, right, the manifestation will happen. Okay. So if that is you, you are beginning to forget a lot of things. You step into a room, you stop for a while. Why am I in this room? If that is happening to you a lot, okay, as well as forgetting where you park your car, stand to your feet. Amen. Don't be ashamed, okay? A lot of people have this problem, okay? All right, just stand to your feet. And you forget who your mother is, stand to your feet. You forget who your pastor is, stand to your feet. There's a serious one, the last one. All right. If you forget Pastor Henry, you forget a very serious thing. All right? And all those in the overflow room as well. Now, I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to pray for you. What I heard from the Lord is this. And Esther, if you can prepare Psalms 92, this is what I saw. Psalms 92, verses 12 to verse 12, all the way down to verse 16. 17, I think. All right? I saw this passage. If you can find it and put it up there for them, it'd be great. Okay, I'm going to tell you what it is as I see it. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit. I love the still. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Not saying you are old, your age is old. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Amen. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. This is what I see. This is what I see. And the Lord says, if you memorize these verses as it comes up, if you memorize these verses, start memorizing these verses, okay? Start memorizing these verses and quote them as often as you can throughout this week. All right, the Lord says it's on a course of manifestation. See, this is one of the ways healing comes. It's not always by prayer. Sometimes it just comes by the Word. Amen. And the Word is full of His life. It's God breathed. It's full of His breath that gave man, the first man, his life. When God breathed into man and man became a living soul, right? The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Flourish like a palm tree. And a palm tree lives very long. You all know that? A palm tree, recently they sprouted a 2,000-year-old date fruit. They sprouted it in Israel. Think about that. And God is saying the righteous. And who is the righteous, church? We are the righteousness of God in Christ. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Okay, he shall grow like a cedar. You know, a cedar can grow up to, can live to 300 years old. Some cedars, like the ones in Lebanon, the very old ones, some of them said it's been there for 2,000 years. And notice specifically, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And you will smell good also, because cedar smells good. You'll be fragrant. Your life will be a life of fragrance to God. Amen. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Don't just come to the house of the Lord. Don't just sit on the window listening to the sermon. Be planted. Be planted. Notice it says, if you are planted in the house of the Lord, what's going to happen to you outside in your workplace and all that? In the courts. Courts is always outside. The tabernacle and the courts. The courts are outside. It's the place where you work, where you function out there in your daily life throughout the week, right? But if you are planted in the house, you will flourish out there. You will prosper out there. Amen. Things will happen for you for the glory of God out there. Amen. And notice the names, the different names of God being used, the house of the Lord. The Lord is a covenant name. It's for His own people. Amen. It's the gathering of the Father and His family. And God, the courts of our God outside. So the Lord, house of the Lord is personal. It's a personal name, Yahweh. Amen. Covenant-keeping God. In the courts of Elohim outside, that's what the world knows Him as. If you know Yahweh, Elohim, same God, but the God that gets involved in the affairs of the earth, He will prosper you out there. Amen. Okay. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Doesn't say they'll be old and bear fruit. There's a difference. Your age can be old. You don't have to be. In fact, you'll be fat and flourishing. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Okay, I'm quoting fat one. You got your big concern. All right? The word fat there is from the King James. I memorized mine from King James. Okay, fat. Fat is full of sap. A tree that's full of sap. Not dried up. And the word flourishing, they shall be fresh and flourishing, is the word green. Green. Ranan in Hebrew. Green. You know, today we have a vernacular, right? Even used today. Oh, he's evergreen. Amen. Stay green. Right? Evergreen. A green tree. And do you know the cedar is an evergreen tree? Even in 100 years old, 200, it's still green. Perpetually, perennially green. It's going to happen to you. So will you memorize this? Quote this? And you know what? You know who gets the glory? You know why God wants this? You think that, Pastor, is good for us, but is this God's will for us? Next verse says, to declare. Verse 15, right? To declare that the Lord is upright. I say 17 just now. It's 15. To declare. So when all this happens, you shall be fat and flourishing. You shall be green. It's to declare that the Lord is upright. Amen. That the world may know. To declare, to proclaim. Not for you to declare your words, okay? This word declare is not, it's from the word nagat, which is actually where you get Haggadah when they observe the Passover, and they don't observe the Passover, listen, testifying to the world, opening the door, shouting. No, not that kind of declare. Just by their ceremony, they are declaring. It's used also in the Greek for the word to proclaim the Lord's death. Just by the action, by your lifestyle, they look at you, amen, they see that what? You are this age, but you're strong, you're flourishing, you're prospering. Amen. In the courts, outside, what's your secret? Amen. Is to declare that the Lord is upright. Here's a rock. When everything in this world is changing, God never changed. And there's no unrighteousness in Him. And not only that, He is your personal rock. Amen. Give Him praise. You may be seated. Okay. Lord, let me get into the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got that. I think that is all that I have in my spirit. Amen. And I'm quite surprised that I still remember some of the revelations from that passage, because I look it up in the Hebrew some time back and look at the meanings and all that. And I found out that the word flourishing is green. I love it. Green. By the way, do you know that this psalm is, you look at your Bible, it's Psalms 90, right? You saw just now, Psalms 90? 92, sorry, 92. You saw that? 92? It's after Psalms 91. All right? Deep. Psalms 91 says what? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Right? Right? For those who have ears to hear. Literally, he who yashav in Hebrew. So a settlement in Hebrew is called moshav. A settlement in Hebrew, in Israel today, they call it moshav. Which moshav are you from? Moshav is from Yashav. Yashav means sit down. Literally, it's sit down. He who sits in the secret place of the Most High, Elyon, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, Shaddai. And all the protection promises, the blessings and the long life is all there in Psalms 91. But if you look at Psalms 92, it opens up. You look at your Bible, okay? You can look at it. If you have a Bible, most Bibles, they will have this. Psalms 92, a psalm for the Sabbath. It's a psalm for the Sabbath. Right? So ours is what? The Lord's Day, as we learn. All right? This psalm, they read this psalm every Sabbath. A psalm for the Sabbath. Do you see that? And it ends with those verses that the Lord shared just now with us. Right? He wanting us to plant this in our hearts. Okay? Are you with me so far? By the way, every week you need fresh oil. And in that chapter, Psalms 92, this same chapter, it also says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Amen. So every time you come to the Lord's house, every week you come to the Lord's house, it's not for nothing. You're getting fresh oil. Amen. And again, the word fresh there, what word is it? Green. It means fresh, but literally is the word green. Green oil is extra virgin olive oil. It's the purest and the best. So every time we find that we get we feel like life is stale, our emotions are dry, we are spiritually dull, you know, it's time for us to have that fresh oil. So every time you come to God's house, you have fresh oil. Amen? 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 So notice I mentioned just now that the psalm before this, it says, "He who sits in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's when all the promises, He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Amen? And from the noisome pestilence, He will cover you with feathers, and under His wings you will take refuge. You shall not be afraid of a terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence, the disease that walks in darkness. You don't even know who is the next victim. And you shall not be afraid of all this. No evil shall befall you. He goes on to say later on, He gave His angels charge over you, and there are many angels around. Right now, all over this place, all over the venues that are watching this right now, where God's people are gathered together, angels gathered together, and the Bible used the word innumerable company of angels. And many a times we are pulled back from disaster, we are kept from heading into danger because angels were involved. Amen. And in these last days, you need angels. Amen. So, sit down in the secret place. What is that? Sitting in the upper room. Sitting in the upper room. First of all, I'm going to show you right now how to sit in the upper room. Actually, you sit because you are seated. Living in the upper room is actually living where you are already established. Amen. Where God has established you. What you need to do is to establish yourself in your heart, your mind, your consciousness, your emotions. Amen. So let's look at this verse and see if the Holy Spirit can give you that revelation, okay? Follow me here in Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So we were all dead. Remember that. We are all dead in our sins. It is not just a matter of like, oh, I didn't sin so bad. You know, I wasn't that kind of like that sister over there. You know, she got very bad background. All right? Oh, no, listen. We are all dead in our sins. All of us. But God rich in mercy. I never find the Bible saying God rich in wrath. God has anger, but you never find God rich in wrath. God rich in mercy. And then you find this, "For His great love wherewith He loved us." His great love wherewith He loved us. "Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Amen? He made you alive together with Christ. When did that happen? When Christ rose from the dead. Actually, positionally, God put you in Him. Amen? It's like, you know, if you take a pen and you put the pen in this Bible, okay, and you go to the Singapore River and you throw this Bible into the Singapore River, let's say, where is the pen? Inside the Bible. If someone saw the Bible, all right, and it's just below the surface and he picks it out, okay, that's resurrection, right? Where is the pen? Resurrected in the Bible. Amen? And if the Bible is brought to the highest place and the highest mountain in Singapore, ladies and gentlemen, let me announce to you, the highest mountain in Singapore is Mount Faber. Okay, la, Faber. Okay, all right? So we go to the highest, and then what do we have up there? The Bible. But don't forget, we talk about the Bible all the time, but who is in the Bible? You and I. So that's what happened. Right, our identity with Christ, God put us in Christ when He was crucified at the cross to put an end to our old Adam so that a new creation arises. That's what it means to be born again. That means you are a resurrected spirit. You see, look up here. This one that you're looking at my face and I look at your face, our body, this is not the real us. This is a house you live in. Everyone, Christian or non-Christian, when they die, they step out of this house. The Bible used the word tabernacle, housed, dwelling place. Your body is not you. You are a spirit and you live in a body. You live in a body and your spirit is breathed in by God. Amen. Your body comes from your parents, right? And in the womb, it comes together, but God breathes. So that part of you, because it's God's breath, it is eternal. That's why heaven and hell are places to house eternal spirits. Are you listening? All right? We cannot, in a way, we cannot stop living. Okay? But we cannot enter heaven with our sins. Amen. So Jesus came so that we can be born again. So when you're born again, what happens is that inside, you become the new person. If you're blonde hair before you are saved, after you're saved, you're still blonde hair. Black hair before you're saved, you're still black hair. So it doesn't affect your physical. Although, listen carefully, the spirit can affect the physical. The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity. It can affect your physical. Okay? But you are the same. So it's not that part of you that's born again. It's your spirit. When Jesus comes again, we call it the rapture. Amen? Then our bodies will be completely changed. All right? Into a body that is forever. When you think about it, Salvation, when the rapture happens, anytime it can happen, when the rapture happens, that's the only thing that's left behind of our redemption. Only thing that we have not inherited yet is a new body. But this new body is a body that can never be subject to weakness, sickness, can never be diseased again, can never feel tired. There's no need for hospitals. Can never feel bored. Can never feel depressed. And it can never die. You think about it, what an amazing life is waiting for us. We won't be floating around, you know. We'll have bodies. I said we'll have bodies. So when God raised Christ from the dead, we are alive together with Christ. Where are you now? In Christ. Okay? Apostle, I'm here. I'm seated here at the star. No, my friend. The real you is seated with Christ above the stars. Way, way above the stars. Okay? So here it says, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Reminding us again, it's all by grace. We didn't do this ourselves. And raised us up together. You know, another passage in Ephesians says, God raised Christ. Listen. God raised Christ far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Is cancer a name? Above every name that is named. Amen. Anything you can name, any new disease that comes in, above, far above every name that is named, every power, every name that is named, far above, not just above, far above every principal power, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and set him at his own right hand, far above all this. God set Christ down. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners speak in time past unto the fathers by the prophets has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down. You see, the reason why Jesus sat down and why you see him sitting down today at the Father's right hand is that he dealt with your sins once and for all. Amen. Hallelujah. Or else he will never sit down. Sitting down means your work is finished. He will never sit down if there's one sin left in your life. And when God forgave you your sins, where were you? Not born yet. So God lives outside time and space. The cross of Jesus Christ is outside time and space. It's for all those who ever lived before he came and all those who would live in the future. So all our sins are put there at the cross. When God says, I forgive you of all your sins, it is not, I forgive you today, but tomorrow, fresh sins need fresh forgiveness. Fresh sins need fresh forgiveness. No, God doesn't look at events that pass by like this. God takes the helicopter view. If there's a parade, you know, you have seen parade, right? At Disney and all that, they have a parade. God takes the helicopter view. He can see the beginning of the parade and the end of the parade. God saw your entire life of sins when He put all your sins on Jesus Christ. Nothing takes God by surprise. So when the Bible says, having purged our sins, Jesus sat down. Amen. That means it's complete. There will never be a sin that rises up and Jesus has to stand up and says, I forgot to take that away. It's done. So whenever you see Jesus seated up there, amen, and you see in the Spirit, just know that He's not sitting down because He's God, although He is. He's not seated down because He's the Son of God, although He is. He's not seated down because the Father honors Him, although that is true. He's seated having purged our sins.
Amen.
Isn't that tranquilizing for our souls, for our conscience? It gives us peace. Amen? But best of all, this far above, raising Christ far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, is not only true for Jesus. God made His identity, His whole history start, our history start with Christ at the cross. We are crucified with Christ. God raised us a new man in Christ. Amen. When God raised Christ, just like the pen in the Bible, God raised Christ, God raised us in Him. And when God says, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool, we all sat down with Christ. That's where you are right now. And my friend, that is seated in the upper room.
Amen.
That is seated in the heavenly places. In fact, if your Bible, you look at your Bible carefully, the word places is actually in italics. That means the translators don't have it in the original. They added it in to help. Sometimes it helps, sometimes it deters, actually, you know. But don't worry about the italics. Italics is not in the original. But the original says, heavenlies, raise us up together and made us sit together. He made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The word heavenly is the word epi urenos, which is actually epi, is upper, upper. The urenos is actually heavens, is the upper heavens. So there are three heavens. The Bible talks about three heavens. Number one, like the devil, he's the prince of the power of the air. What is that? This atmosphere, atmospheric heaven you see around you, the stars, all that. I mean, the moon and all that. Not the stars, actually, but this atmospheric heaven. The stars and the moon and the galaxies and all that, they are in a place called second heaven, universe. Where is God's throne? In the brightest of all heaven. All right? It's above that. You cannot see with a naked eye. No microscope can look into that. It's beyond that. That's where those who are dead in Christ straight away, they are there. Some of them who came back says, angels carry them right to the Father's presence. Your loved ones are more alive than you think. You cry for them, actually they cry for you. When they realize what heaven is like and they look down and see what we are struggling with, we rejoice over the next smartphone that comes. And they are crying, oh my goodness. The little petty joys that we call joy. Nothing wrong with smartphones. I didn't mention the brand. Amen? We rejoice over gold and silver. And down there, they use it for street. So the priorities, it's like, you know, we can't imagine, right? Apostle Prince, are you in heaven? There's no more this, no more that, no more this. Whatever you want to put, no more. Okay, let me tell you this. Last time you don't know also what, before God created you. What is pleasure, what is pain, you don't know also. Right? But God saw you in mind and God created your lips and your tongue and all that, right? To taste different, to enjoy different food. If God give you one taste that you never know also what. Am I right? Come on. God has your pleasure and your true fulfillment and your joy in His heart. Because why? He loves you. So you can imagine life in heaven, the joys and all that, greater than earth. You cannot imagine, because you're so used to earth. It reminds me of someone looking at the ant. And you tell the ant, hey, poor ant, you're eating junk. All right? That syrup has been thrown there for some time already. It's stale. Hey, stop eating from there. And if the ant can talk back, the ant says, what do you have to offer me? I got fresh things up here. Sorry, this is my life. I'm so frightened. I look up there, I cannot understand. It's too high. It's too bright. I like dark things. I like smelly things. Amen. I like dirt. You know, I like that kind of thing. I'm used to this kind of life. And you feel for the end, don't you? You don't feel. Just kill the end. Right. So imagine if the ant, if I can become an ant and I talk to the ant and we both fellowship and I tell him there's a better life. Amen. And all of a sudden the ant becomes a man and he said, my goodness, I never realized this kind of life exists when I was ant. Now this day I have ant men, so it spoils the illustration a little bit, you know. And ant man, you know. So, but can you imagine? Now we are human beings here. We can't imagine the life in heaven. I don't know why I said all that, but I think the Lord wants to encourage you because the end is near. When I say the Lord is coming for us, He's coming for us anytime. Might be this year. Might just be this month. Amen. We will always live expectant. And you know what you're going to receive? The only thing that will change is our bodies. That's when it comes to pass. Death has lost its sting. All right? The fulfillment of Jesus did it at the cross and His resurrection, but it is effected in our life when we are raptured. We have a new body. But Pastor, I'm so scared of heights. In that new body, you're not scared of heights. Amen. And the pleasures of heaven cannot be taken in this mortal body. It must be in the new body. Can you imagine? Never dying again. Never feeling tired. Never going to the doctor and say, I think my blood pressure went up. Amen? It's a real life. And, okay, how do we live in the upper room? But the Lord wants us to live constantly in the upper room. So where are you now? Present tense. Seated together with Christ. All right? Sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. Can you see that? So, have you been raised? Past tense. Were you crucified? Yes, past tense. Were you quickened from the dead? Yes. Happened to you, right? Past tense? Yes. Were you raised up all the way? Happened already? Yes. So where are you now? Seated. Where? In the upper heavenlies, the third heaven where God dwells. His throne is. Brilliance beyond the excellence of shining and radiance of the sun. Beyond all that, brighter than the sun. Amen? We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now, when we live Christian life, listen carefully, we live like this. We come down and attend to earthly matters, but our spirit is heavenly. What's the effect? How to describe this? It's like if an angel came down. Okay, your drama lovers and all that. Right? Because middle of the night, you know, when even the owl is like falling asleep, and people are still watching. You know, that one is amazing. That's really amazing, you know. I see some guilty faces. I just think that, okay, anyway, dramas have all kinds of shows, right? Sometimes I just read the subtitles. I find it so comical sometimes. Like, it's like this person goes back in time. You know? Or this going to the future. Right? Oh, this one is actually an angel. He's from a star. He comes down. Scarcely he fall in love. Must fall in love, of course. Or else who wants to watch? So the angel comes down, he falls in love. You know? But then he lives. His life is, he's like a human being, but he's not a human being. You know? It's like there is something heavenly about him. He's not petty. If anything, you can say he's like princely. He comes from another world. Amen. And he has powers. Wow. He has powers. Then one day he disappeared. You know, he went back to the star. And everyone cries. Right? Something like that. I remember watching this sometime far years ago. And I think it's one of the silliest. Okay. Oh, don't get angry at me. Okay, never mind. I revoke that. Child of God, don't forget who you are. You are not a drama lover. You are Christ lover. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, just to give you an idea, what God wants us to do is this. We don't live our Christian life, all right, trying to be patient, trying to be kind, trying to do this, trying to be humble, trying. That's where people fail. What God wants us to do is to live life already seated. We are already complete in Christ. We are righteous in Christ. We are so close to the Father's right hand that God wants us to be aware of that. That's living in the upper room. God wants us to be so conscious that we are seated with Christ, that we relax in our approach to life. Does that mean in our earth suit, let's call this earth suit, okay, that you and I are wearing our bodies on earth, does that mean that we won't face troubles, we won't face situations? No, we will face situations, but our inner man is seated with Christ and we face our challenges with the perspective of, with all the resources of God behind us, we handle it. Amen. There was once, I remember hearing this testimony. I think I read this testimony somewhere many, many, many years ago about a man of God who came to town. And in those days, they would just go to different towns to preach. And there was a young man waiting for him. And after he finished preaching, the young man came up to him to share with him, said to unburden his heart, some very shameful outbreaks in his life and in many, many areas, especially in the area of lust and all that. And he says, I try my best. As a Christian, I try my best not to watch, not to do this, not to do that. I did my very best, but somehow I cannot do it. Why is that so? Why is that so? And the man of God just smiled, looked at him and said, you're approaching the whole thing wrong. You do not know who you are in Christ. You're approaching like a human being, trying to suppress all his sinful tendencies, trying to overcome his bad habits, and therefore you are doomed to repeat it. Why? There's no hope in the flesh. In the upper room, when Jesus got up and washed his disciples' feet, Peter says, everything that is wrong, 3 times. First of all, the flesh. It shows the flesh, our flesh. So forward, like he insulted the Lord's work. Are you washing my feet? Okay. Then the Lord says, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. All right? Right? He said, you will never wash my feet. Now, before the Lord says you have no part with me, he said, you'll never wash my feet. Now he says, he denied the Lord his service of love. Okay? And he thinks it's because, you know, I'm doing the Lord a favor. And then the Lord says, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Then he says, look at the flesh. Wash not only my feet, my hands, my head. Then Jesus says, he that is completely clean, who has a bath, only need to wash the feet. We're going to study all this soon. Okay? So the flesh is like that. Either it's too forward, like the horse, or too reticent, like the mule. It's never in sync with God. So in the washing of the feet, you learn to be, you have part with me. Washing the feet doesn't make you part in me. That is when you're safe. That is the bath already. That bath is the new birth. Amen. You're completely clean. You only have to wash your feet. It's a message for believers. You're completely clean. You only need to wash your feet. Your daily walk gets contaminated, right? You don't wash your feet. What's going to happen? Jesus says, you have no part with me, not in me. If he said in me, it means you're not saved. But no part with me. With me what? You either go too fast or you're too slow. You cannot flow with me. And the Christian life is a life of flowing in the Spirit. The old covenant is this. Just this will help you understand. Old covenant are written codes like the law to be obeyed. New covenant is the Holy Spirit to be followed. Amen. One more time. Old covenant are written codes to be obeyed, or else there's penalty. New covenant is the Holy Spirit to be followed. You understand that? You understand. You will not live in two covenants at the same time, causing confusion. Okay, are you with me so far? So this man of God says, you're approaching the whole thing wrong. You are actually crucified. That part of you don't like, that's causing you trouble, depression, and problems, and causing you to sin again and again, like bullying you, is your flesh. But you need to realize you have been crucified with Christ. It's gone. It sounds so loud, sounds so real, but it's gone. It's like the feeling you get when you get off the boat. This is mine now. When you get off the boat, right? You still feel like you're going up and down. You ever had that feeling? Yeah. Amen? It's all in your consciousness. It's not real. You're no more on the boat. So you're no more on the boat of the flesh. You are not in the flesh. You are now in the spirit. But the flesh will still have its old habits, old ways of thinking. All right. So he told the young man this. I want you to pray like this with me. Okay? Follow me in this prayer. He said, Father, thank you that I've been crucified with Christ. Then the young man followed line by line and said, died with Christ, raised with Christ, and I'm now seated with Christ. And all the while he's thinking, what has this got to do with my sins, my bad habits? I'm now seated with Christ. I'm now seated with Christ, far above everything else. I'm with Christ. He said, pray this prayer every day, thanking God. Notice it's not a prayer of asking. It's already done. It's a reality, heavenly reality. Amen. You just have to thank God. Every day you're seated with Christ. Well, some years passed. The man of God was making his circuit preaching in different parts of America. And then finally he came back to that town. And he was preaching. As he was preaching, a young, fine-looking man came in and sat. All of a sudden, of all the people there, this man of God said that he was drawn to that young man. And after that, after preaching, you know, he just felt like he was drawn. The guy was glowing. So at the end, the guy came up and the guy looked at him. He looks radiant. It's been a number of years now. And the young man said, you don't recognize me, right? He says, no. He says that I'm the young man he described. He prayed for a lot of people. I'm the young man who came to you with this kind of... He said, I remember now. And he asked him, how has it been? He says, victory. Victory. Not only that, he said, even before he said it, he could see the air of princeliness. Like he comes from heaven. Like Jesus, even though he was dressed in a garb of that of a Galilean, right? Probably some people say white and blue or whatever. But yet you feel like you're in the presence of a prince. Amen. When he speaks, things happen. When he spoke, demons depart. Amen. He spoke to the winds kowtowed and obeyed. He's a prince, a king in our midst. There's something royal. It's got nothing to do with your crown, nothing to do with your clothes, nothing to do with your name, title. You might have a name called Prince, but who cares? Amen? All right? Nothing to do with all that. Amen? Nothing to do with all that. It's got to do with something that exudes from within. Amen. And I've seen that happen. Amen. I've seen that. So we live our Christian life in this position. All right? Every good man of God will tell you that. We don't pray up to heaven. Actually, we are praying, cooperating with God many a times. And talking about prayer, in the upper room, you learn one thing. Jesus says, up till now, you have asked nothing in my name. And that's why people get riled up when I say the Lord's Prayer is a prayer that's perfect for its time during the earthly walk of Jesus when he came to present first the kingdom. He didn't come to tell them, look, I'm the Messiah. I'll die on the cross and through my blood, your sins will be washed. Israel rejected him not as the Savior. Israel rejected Christ as the King of Israel. That was their sin. Jesus said, you'll not see my face until you say, Baruch haba Hashem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, they never said, we reject him as our Savior. Read carefully the Synoptic Gospels. He came to present the kingdom. In other words, if Israel accepted Jesus Christ as the King, heaven will come to earth. He will rule from Israel and from Israel all over the world. But alas, Israel rejected. He came unto his own and his own received him not. That's referring to Israel. But as many, all of us, as receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. So that was a physical kingdom that Jesus came to offer them. Promised to Daniel in prophecy and also to David. Your line will continue forever. It's a kingship. It's a literal kingdom. It's a real kingdom. But Israel rejected. So the kingdom is now, the physical kingdom is held in abeyance. In the second coming of Christ, not the rapture. The rapture is only for the church. It's called a mystery. But go beyond that. After the rapture starts 7 years of tribulation on earth. During the time, the book of Revelation, people will identify each other by numbers. Okay, stand in line, pick your number. This is your number, wait for your number. People identify each other with numbers in the end time. In the end times, things will happen in Jerusalem and all the nations of the world will see something happen. How come? How come all the nations of the world, you know, like many skeptics today who don't believe the Bible, they were skeptics in 18th century, skeptics in 17th century, and they will say like, the Bible is so full of fantasy. They laugh at the book of Revelation. It talks about the two witnesses in Jerusalem. And the Bible says certain events will happen there involving the two witnesses. And it says all the nations of the world will see it. Bible, fantasy. Well, no one is laughing now about such a thing happening because yesterday, Jordan nearly beat Korea. And I happened to see parts of it. From my little Singapore, I saw something that happened in Qatar. Qatar is not Sentosa, you know. Even I cannot see Sentosa, huh? All right? It's not with my physical eyes. Well, no one is laughing now. Amen? Are you listening? The Bible talks about an object that will speak with intelligence, but it's not a human being in the last days. The Antichrist will use this object. It's very intelligent, right? But it's not a human being. I rest my case. I won't tell you who it is. All right? But when Jesus comes, that's the rapture. All right? Then you can mark it from, we're all in heaven. We're not waiting for the Antichrist. No, no, no. God will rapture us first. Then the worst things will happen on earth. Terrible things for 7 years, tribulation. Then at the end of it, Jesus will come for Israel. Before they're completely destroyed, Jesus will come. Right, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This time he will re-establish the kingdom of which the Sermon on the Mount is part of. You see, but during this time, before that, we are living in the church age, the dispensation of grace. So the Lord's Prayer, strictly speaking, is a kingdom prayer. And we call it the Lord's Prayer. It could be the disciples' prayer because the disciples ask him to teach them how to pray. So don't you think if Jesus taught you how to pray that prayer, the disciples were praying that prayer probably every single day? Do you think so? If Jesus, they said, please teach us how to pray. Even disciples of John know how to pray. Then Jesus taught them the pattern of how to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He taught them how to pray. Nothing wrong in praying that prayer today also. If the Lord's Prayer, listen carefully, don't you believe that they'll be praying that prayer every day? How come in the upper room, Jesus turned around and told them, until now you have asked nothing in my name? Peter can say, wait, Lord. You taught us how to pray the Lord's Prayer. Isn't that asking in your name? Up till now, you have asked nothing from the Father in my name. There is a prayer that's beyond any other prayer you have prayed. Even those by the prophets in the old covenant and all that. The prayer we pray is not like that kind of prayer. When I prayed for you all just now, notice I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's so much more there. There's so much more there. There's a prayer we ask the Father in my name. There's a place where you ask anything in my name. Listen, you ask the Father in my name, He, the Father, will give it to you. There's another one in the upper room where He said, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. What's the difference? Coming soon. Amen. Also in the upper room, He taught them this. The rapture. For the first time, the rapture is heard. We thought it was from 1 Thessalonians when Paul said, this I say by the word of the Lord about the rapture. But actually, Jesus alluded to it in the upper room. I told you what, upper room are teachings of the epistles in its embryonic form. What did Jesus say? In my Father's, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where I am, there you may. Notice, I go and prepare. My Father's house are many mansions. Hey, by the way, it's not a little hut house. It's mansion. mansion. In my father's house are many mansions. Singaporeans understand this like that, no problem. You don't need Greek for this interpretation. Mansion, they understand, amen? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Notice, no 7 years of tribulation mention. No, some people believe that rapture is nothing more than second coming. That means we are going through the great tribulation. No, Jesus says, I come again and what? Receive you to myself. No mention of the Antichrist. It's just straight from heaven, receive you unto myself, back to heaven. But what about the Antichrist? What about the great tribulation prophesied by Isaiah, Jeremiah, the prophets in the Old Testament, Daniel? Where all this? It will come to pass. But in the upper room, these are truths for the church. Father and his family. Are you with me so far? Okay, so the upper room opens with, I'm bringing this to a close. So you're enjoying this so far, you understand? So you find that your life, for example, how do I apply this? You know, you've forgotten who you are. The problem with all of us, we have forgotten who we are. Okay, even a prince, a real prince of a family, if he's brought up from young to think that he's not a prince, to think like a beggar and to beg in the streets. Although in reality, he's a prince, he will live and think like a beggar. We have a lot of stories about this. I don't know, I think Indian drama also have, you know, this kind of thing. I think all kinds of drama, you know, we have a former prince, you know, the kind of thing. Even like fairy tales have prince and the pauper. So it's in the mentality, what we are doing when we come to the Word of God is to renew our minds to who we already are in Christ. Amen? It's a whole lot of difference. When I see myself seated with Christ, let's say I have a problem with anger, bitterness, and whatever, all right? What do I do? I don't try to suppress it. That's the worst you can do. To suppress it is to cause it to explode. It's a reverse thing that will happen. What do? I just rest. I just rest. Why? It's finished. This anger problem is no more. I rest. My perspective is that it's far below my feet. I've died to sin already. I'm raised with Christ. I'm seated with Christ. You take this posture, what's going to happen? Why does God want to rest and sit down? Because He has a show for you. Watch this. Look at verse 6, that we are seated and raised up together and made us sit together. For what purpose? Comma. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, He might show. I told you, He's a show coming. So that in the ages to come, all we'll see in front of us is not the Antichrist, you know, tribulation or whatever. We are seeing all this happen from the top down. Are you listening, people? From the top down, okay? In the ages to come, what we see? He might show us the exceeding riches of His grace. In His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So when you are seated with Christ, all right, you must have this posture, okay? Can I sit down? I tell you, it's a very scriptural position, okay, in the Bible. The Bible says that before Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus sat down. And there were multitudes there, you know. It's not that you sit down because there are a row of 12 people in front of you, right? It's easy, right? But there's a multitude. But the Bible says, first thing He did, sit down. I'm waiting for preachers everywhere to obey that. Because nothing better than the exemplar. Amen? Right? So He sat down. Good excuse. Okay, so He sat down. To sit down with Christ means what? Your word carries power. Watch what you say. Don't use death. Don't say, oh, die la. Say, live la. All right? Like I told you last week. Right? Don't say, I'm dying for the piece of cake. If you're dying, you cannot eat it. Say, I'm living for the piece of cake. So why is it so pervasive that every language has death program already in the language? Why is it so? Why is it so that every language, mati la, daya, siya, kaput, na kaput, German, kaput. Marajaya, all kinds of. It's all death, 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 death. Why? Do you think it's the devil? He cannot kill you directly, but you can kill you. Because the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. So let's say God says, sit down with me. Do you know you're on the throne? Yes. Do you know that what it means to be on the throne? Yes. You are enthroned with me. We are joined as with you are joint heir with me, Jesus says. Okay. Yes, Lord. Another thing, my word says in Ecclesiastes, where the word of a king is, there is power. I understand. And all things are yours. That's so funny, I feel like dying. So that's the problem with us. It's so part of us that when we say it, I feel, oh, come on, don't split hairs over words and all that. Words can kill. Words can bring you to court. And depending on words spoken against who even, the crime is commensurate with the dignity and the office of the person that you slander. Speak life to you. So now whatever you say will come to pass. Yes. Amen. Thank God with long life, God satisfies me. My family is blessed. Hallelujah. This coming week, the Lord has gone ahead and made the crooked places straight. And in spite of what you see happen in front of you, things are not bad. There will be bad events and all that. But in your spirit, you are disassociated. You must disassociate. You are in the heavenlies. And when you disassociate yourself, you can have a right perspective of that problem. You won't be crushed. But if you are a normal person with all the rest all on the same ground, earthward, sensual, earthbound, logical, right? You cannot have that wisdom that comes from above. So we live life heaven, earthwards, from heaven earthwards. Don't live life from earth heavenward, which a lot of Christians are doing. You think about it when you pray, right? How do you pray? You, Father in heaven. All right, that's taught in the Lord's Prayer at that time. It's true. He wanted them, you can see them, Israel, as disciples. They were disciples, but they're not saved. He has not yet died. That's why in the Sermon on the Mount, there's not one word about salvation. It was a perfect sermon for the kingdom, which that sermon will be fully implemented when Jesus comes again in the kingdom. And we'll come with him. So, you think about it. When you are in this position with Christ, what is your posture? What do you look forward to? Don't become earthward. Ah, this coming week, I got a lot of things to do. Ah, I feel very stressful. I feel I got to, you know, go higher. I even shouldn't say go higher. I just say, know where you are in Christ. Amen. The attempt to go higher, all right, denotes that you are not where you are. So don't even try to go higher. And when you pray, have you realized that you pray, Father in heaven, it's like, even you have lost before you pray. Why? You are implying distance. But there's no distance. That's why your prayers don't get answered because there's no faith released and you're believing the wrong thing. Father in heaven, you look up, God, hear my prayer. Okay? Now, I look up. I do look up. But I look up to someone who is so close to me. He taught me that. One time I was praying, and I said, like God is so far away, I look up. Father in heaven. Now, you don't have to look up all the time. The Bible says, thou shalt look up and then pray. Or thou shalt close thy eyes and pray. Nowhere says close your eyes. And I encourage you not to pray when you're driving doing that. Okay? You might just close it for a long time. So I say, Father. Then he says, why do you see me so far away? He rebuked me. He corrected me in his love. Say, how do I do it? Your prayers don't get answered because you start off from the wrong premise. It's an unscriptural premise. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He cannot bear witness with this lie that I'm far away. So I didn't mean it too, Lord. Then he says, pray. From now on, pray. All right? Let your words be few. Knowing, more importantly is this, knowing I'm listening. Amen. Knowing. And you must know that you're so close to me, even at my right hand. So how do you pray to someone who is so near? Right? Now, I don't want to say loud. Sometimes I pray loud, right? Sometimes I pray soft. It's not the loudness. Pray in your spirit, your conscious. I say, Father, you must know he's listening, Ray. I'm like, Father, Father, Father. You know, not kind of prayer. Father, got it. He's there, Ray. Jesus stood before Lazarus' tomb. Father, right? Someone can come to you. Hey, God is so far away up there. A Jew would say, a Jew who believed what they believed at the time, God is in his heaven, you are on earth. That's what you could tell him. But Jesus says, Father, next thing you know, Lazarus! And Lazarus came out. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. There's this personal relationship. And the world is looking for that. Amen? They're not looking for formality. Oh, Father in heaven, thou, that makes all... You know, when my son asked me something, right? Abba, ask for something straight away. You know, Hebrew people, right? They say, Abba. Miss a child would say, Abba. Even an older man in his 60s or whatever, he has a father, elderly father, he'll say, Abba. Okay? If it's my father, they will say Avi. So what happened when they did this video, right? You know, the father says, Benny. So what happened? I told them the format, you know, the idea and all that. They came back, they told me, we prepared already. The prodigal son will say, Abba. Then the father will say, Aben. Ben is son, right? Aben. I say, Aben. So I saw the video, Aben. I said, where did you get Aben from? Because Abba. Abba is Abba. Must be Abena. I said, you think this is Chinese, Aboy? In Hebrew, when they say my son, they'll say Benny. Benny. Benny means my son. That's where your name Benny comes from. Benny. Benny means my son, not Aben. That's Chinese, Aboy. Okay? So watch this. There are two attitudes. I'll close with this. All right? Listen carefully. Take this home with you, okay? And this is the position. You are seated with Christ. When you pray in the sense of family closeness, in the consciousness he loves you. His great love by which he loved us, he made us sit together with Christ. We are there. No one can remove our position. Satan cannot remove that position, your position. So two attitudes. Number one, and I don't have time to do all this, to show you all the scriptures, but listen to me, okay? It's all in there in the Bible. The first one, to show in front of you, what can you expect when you're seated with Christ? There's a show coming. He's going to show you the exceeding riches of his grace. And you know what? Listen carefully. It's not just when you die and go to heaven, he will show you. While you are living here with your spirit seated in Christ, he's going to show you. All the favors he has for you. This year, you know what's going to happen? He will show you the exceeding riches of his unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor for you. And let's not worry about who says what, who says this, or you listen to prophecies that people thought bad things happening this year, or prophets say this. Listen, the Bible says when you're seated with Christ, you will only see exceeding riches of his grace. Doesn't mean there's no persecution. Doesn't mean, in fact, in the upper room, there's a promised persecution. Jesus says it will happen. He even taught us how to respond to it in the upper room. All right? There'll be persecution, especially if you are a believer. But your posture in responding to it, difficulty and all that, is that you're seated with Christ. And your family identity is royalty. But not royalty to dominate people. Your power is not to dominate people, but to break their bondage, to destroy their sin, to cast out the demon that's oppressing them, to heal the sick. That's the authority you have. And like Jesus, you can be dressed normal, look normal, but there's something about you that's radiant, that is heavenly. That, my friend, is the Christian life. If your version of holiness is such that there's a morose face, look like baptized in tom yum juice, right? That's not Christianity, right? Because Bible says to Jesus, Hebrews chapter 1, God has anointed you, Father telling the Son, God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Your fellows there is not the angels. God don't call the angels fellows. Your fellows means together, joint heirs with Christ. Who are the fellows? All of us. And Jesus is the happiest. He's anointed with the oil of gladness above your fellows. We rejoice in all these things that we are learning. But you know something? His joy exceeds ours. He loves to love you more than you love to be loved. You enjoy hearing the truths of the finished work. He enjoys telling you, revealing to you. Amen. And that's why the Bible, to start off, we will just tell you this. Okay? Okay, you saw that? I'll try again. Okay? How fast you get up, okay, is how young you are. Amen. Amen. So let me give you another posture and we'll close with this. Seated with Christ is also this. The Father says in Hebrews chapter 1, to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Right? So we end off with what God said to me in the beginning. Sit still until you know how the matter will fall. Now, the Father in Hebrews chapter 1, the second last verse, it says, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So, would that be spoken to us as well? Yes, we are in Christ. What is God saying? I got a new problem. God says, you got a new sitting down to do. No, I must get up and do stuff. No, you must sit down and sit well. I'm going to handle it. But it looks so big. Not bigger than me. Sit down. But Lord, if I don't handle it, I don't need you to handle it. You'll make a mess of it. Sit down. Sit down. Because I love you. Sit down until I make all your enemies. You can call it what you want. It's not a human being, okay? The one that speaks against you and all that. He's a precious jewel on the breastplate of Jesus. I will not see him otherwise. The person who come against you at work, come against you here and there, they are not your enemies. But what their schemes are, their things are, right? God will not cause it to prosper. Those are your enemies. The hatred is the enemy. Disease is also an enemy to God. Amen. God says, all the problem here, marital conflict, your wife is not your enemy. The strife is the enemy. All the spirits the devil has signed against your marriage is the enemy. But God promised, sit down until I make all your enemies your footstool. And if I got another hour, I'll preach to you how marriages are breaking down because the husband is not rested inside. He brings home this stress and worry and then pours out. His wife may not understand where he's been at or what he's thinking of or his mind is lost. And then he snap out at her. It's nothing personal, but it's no excuse. Many a times because it starts with not resting. But it takes faith for this position. Will you live in the upper room? Will you be positioned and established where God has positioned and established you? Then I'll tell you this. You will see one thing happen after another. One after another, your enemies be made your footstool. Because you are in Christ. And you'll see something else. You will see something else in all the days ahead of you. The exceeding riches of His favor, His grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I preach myself happy. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Lord. If you have never put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What I shared just now is for believers. And all this is true based on the Word of God. And if that is you, pray this prayer with me right now. You say, Pastor, I'm going to put my trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your house. Pray this prayer from your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of your Son, my Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven's glory, came down to earth to die on that cross for all my sins. And on the third day, you raised him from the dead, and you raised me in him, and you made him to sit at your right hand, and you made me to sit together with him. Here I am now today. Thank you, Father. Jesus Christ is my Lord forever. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands all across this place. Don't worry, we are good on time. Hey, y'all, give me some, you know. Okay, thank you, thank you. The longer y'all do, the longer y'all go. Okay, lift up your hands all across this place. This coming week, from the perspective of being seated with Christ, you are blessed with all blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And I declare in the name of Jesus that your lives and the lives of your loved ones are protected throughout this week. In the name of Jesus, I declare that whatever you do prospers, and all weapons and the scourge of tongue against you will not prosper throughout this week. May you find yourself by the power of the angelic host that God has sent to keep charge over you. Be at the right place at the right time. May the power of the Holy Spirit teach you all things and guide you into all truths, even the truths that God wants to show you in this upper room. And may the Holy Spirit show you things to come, even in the future, even this year, as you listen to Him and continue to live in the upper room. In the name of Jesus, and all the people said, amen. God bless you. We'll see you again.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
Are you going through a tough time or feeling overwhelmed by the storms of life? My friend, God is with you in the midst of your troubles, and He has promised that He will never leave you nor forsake you.
What He wants you to know is this. You look around you and the problems are distressing. You look at the power of the devil and it seems so big. Jesus is telling you, just bring that need to me.
For your gift of any amount to the ministry, we want to send you Joseph's 2-sermon CD series on finding peace in the midst of chaos. Find out how you can have hope in your lowest moments because Jesus is with you. When you support the ministry by requesting a resource, you're helping us bring the gospel of grace to those who need it most through our television, print, and digital initiatives. This program is only possible because of the support of viewers like you. Your gift of any amount helps us to move the ministry forward. Visit josephprince.org or call us toll-free at 877-901-4300.
Introducing Grace Academy.
Welcome to Grace Academy. Grace Academy has been on my heart for a long time. If you've ever had questions about how to walk in grace or what it means to live by grace, this is the place where you'll find answers on how to live a life that's anchored on our Lord Jesus.
Featuring brand new content from Joseph Prince, Grace Academy is a digital pastoring experience designed to help you through some of life's toughest moments. Participate in activities that will help you apply the Word of God to your daily life. Discover resources that will help deepen your understanding of the Lord's love and heart for you.
I pray these resources will inspire and equip you to live confidently every day. Enjoy and be blessed.
Get free access today. Text GA to 71239 or visit josephprince.org/GA.
I want to take a moment to thank a very special group of people, Grace Legacy Builders. You know who you are. You're the ones who make this possible. Because of your generosity, lives are changed, bondages broken, and families set free from decades of wrong belief. Every praise report we receive, and we get many every day, is a testimony of God's grace and a testament of your faithful support of our ministry. Thank you for making a real difference in the lives of so many. God bless you greatly.
Be a Grace Legacy Builder today. Your giving powers our ability to keep sending the gospel of grace to the world. Call 877-901-4300 or visit josephprince.org to start building. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.